And welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. Joseph, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. How you doing?
Wonderful. Good. I'm wonderful.
Okay.
Nick Keyser, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Joe, did you get your Lego haircut?
Wow. Ooh. I mean, I guess if I have Lego hair, I guess I got a Lego haircut, huh? Yeah, it's
I at least noticed.
Yeah, thanks for noticing. Yeah. It's easy when it's just clip off a little bit of, it's like take a little segment of plastic off.
Well, because last time you were complaining that the haircut was awful, remember?
That goes a few times ago.
No, yeah, that was quite a while ago. That was a place I don't go anymore. So, yes.
They were one and done.
Well, I had been going there a long time, then they switched staff.
Oh, that's what
so it was. It was the switch of staff.
That was it.
Yeah, thanks for listening to me, guys. Appreciate it. I thought that was a really heartfelt rant. You guys didn't
care. Well,
that was so
long ago. Keyser thought it was last week.
Yeah, so. That was like a year ago or something, right? I don't know if it was a year, but it was like probably
a significant amount of time.
Several months ago. Yeah. But thank you.
You probably don't get haircuts that often, though, right?
I mean, I get a haircut like once a month.
Really?
Yeah, maybe once
every
6 weeks.
How long did you think he went?
I mean, maybe 3 months, 3-4 months almost.
I would love to see you do that.
Wow. Be like COVID, man.
I don't know. Maybe something like
a little
that.
Mullet?
Fail to grit. Yeah, I mean, I had the long hair, I had the bad, like, spotty beard.
Yeah.
You know, you could do that if you want.
My dad goes a while, so I thought maybe you had kind of done the same.
Okay.
That's all. There you go.
Your dad got a good head full of hair?
No, not really.
Okay. All right. Just check.
Poor Nick's dad takes strays out of nowhere, man.
Right in the middle of the radio.
He knows. It's okay.
All right. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Jared Stillman will join us at 7 o'clock. Jerron Davenport at 8 o'clock to look ahead to the Titans and the NFL draft. The Preds in action coming up tonight and tomorrow before they close out the regular season early next week. And the playoffs are here, so a lot to get to on that front as well. Joe, we begin with apparently the hire for the Kentucky Wildcats. It looks like it's going to be Mark Pope out of BYU. And I believe he's also getting a 5-year deal that's worth $5.5 million per year. So that has been put out there over kind of the last few hours here of reporting that's gone on around that. Obviously, Scott Drew was pretty involved in this, and he turned down Kentucky. I think, was it yesterday that was made official that he turned down Kentucky?
Yeah.
So you had Danny Hurley in the immediate aftermath of the national title game at UConn say that he's not going to Kentucky, and then all of a sudden, like, people were tracking, like, flights to New York yesterday after Scott Drew turned him down. It was like, well, there's a plane from Lexington that landed at LaGuardia. Could they be driving over to see Danny Hurley?
Stores is a short drive from LaGuardia.
The blitz is on for Danny Hurley. And then apparently last night they've come to their decision, and Mark Pope is going to be the next head coach of the University of Kentucky, which, I'll be honest with you, Joe, has not been met with very much enthusiasm from the Kentucky fan base that I've seen. Your thoughts on the Mark Pope hire by Kentucky?
I want to say, well, first of all, give credit to Mike DeCourcy, because I believe Mike DeCourcy, the Sporting News, came right out with a piece that here's your top shot. Everybody's going to talk about these people. And I think his top number one candidate was Mark Pope of BYU. First of all, I'm very much enjoying the complete meltdown. And look, hey, like, Vols fans are just having a good old time with it, too. And you guys just showed me, I need to know when this video is from, of Mark Pope.
I need to know it, too.
With the C-A-T-S, cats, 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 and apparently he knows every word to Hamilton, which actually I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm enjoying the heck out of the meltdown, but if I will have a hot take, who's a, call this a, I don't know, Busy Bee stinging hot take.
Ooh,
Friday.
I like that.
Wow,
I like it.
How about that, huh?
Woo!
Just coming up with marketing campaigns on my own. I actually think it's a pretty good hire. I'm going to be Like, I don't think many Kentucky fans are going to be very excited about it. But when it comes down to it, you know, let's go back. First of all, a few things here. Let's think back of some of the huge jobs that have been open recently. And, like, they every single one, it gets to this, like, an underwhelming hire, right? Like, why is that? I mean, Alabama football. I mean, yeah, look, I think Kellen DeBoer's a good coach. But still, you know, all the people they're talking about. Well, I think so. I mean, compared to, like, what people were talking about initially.
Like Dane Lanning and, yeah.
Yeah, Tennessee. You know, Tennessee women's basketball. I mean, that's, you know, people are like, oh, well, I guess they're going to go get, you know, whoever. I don't know. It's one thing I thought of was, like, maybe these jobs just in general aren't as appealing as everyone thinks they are. But also, you know, look. I wish we had Twitter in 1988. Kansas, Larry Brown, national champs. He leaves. They go get an assistant from North Carolina. Roy freaking Williams? Who the hell is this guy? Yeah, you know? Yeah. I do feel like there's – like Mark Pope is going to have every you know, advantage he needs to win there. And I think he's demonstrated that he's good. I understand he has no NCAA tournament wins, so I get it. Like, and no NCAA tournament wins, and he got the freaking Kentucky job? But I actually think it's not nearly as bad as some Kentucky fans are going to make it out to be. But I'm here for them. Meltdown.
There's a lot of melting down going on. And I think some of the meltdown that I've seen is not just who has been hired, but it's also like, did you really have to pivot to him this quickly, right? Like it's, okay, Scott Drew turns it down, whatever. Danny Hurley, he's won back-to-back titles at UConn. I don't think anybody ever really expected him to leave. But did you have to go to Mark Pope and, like, pivot so quickly? Now, my question to that would be, okay, well, who else are you going to go hire? Like, Nate Oates has already said he's not going anywhere, too. I guess there's, like, the Bruce Pearl element to this.
There's two guys, and per the reporting, no contact, no interest. Bruce Pearl, Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
So if you're a Kentucky fan, they're automatically on your list, and you're like, what the hell? But obviously, look, Mitch Barnhart did not want to hire someone who's going to be there 5 years. That right, Bruce Pearl, as we've talked about, turned 65 here in a minute, and Rick Pitino 71.
Right,
I get that. Right, I mean, I get
Mark
that.
Pope is 51, so yeah, a little bit of a difference.
You're trying to get someone who can have a long tenure. So let's take them out. Yeah, then where are you going? Like that. What's the like? Where did you miss? I mean, look, you know, I heard people talk about Shaka Smart. I mean, you can make a case for like Shaka Smart over Mark Pope. Shaka Smart has taken a team to the Final Four. If you want to go on achievement and coaches who may have been attainable, there are other places you could have gone. But yeah, I mean, I'd say that's still. I mean, look, I don't know. Does it matter? It probably works against him at this point that he's like a, you know, a Kentucky legend on the court and was part of a championship team, but. Obviously, I mean, it's hard to believe that wasn't some kind of a factor here, right?
Oh, you'd have to think so. And look, I mean, he's 51 years old. He's got a 5-year deal. You didn't have to. I mean, that's the other part of this that the Kentucky fans I've seen are mad about. You're willing to spend all this money and you settle with $5.5 million a year for Mark Pope for 5 years. What are you doing? And now people are just tweeting Mitch Barnhart left and right. But, you know, I mean, you're not going to pay somebody an outrageous amount of money just to pay them an outrageous amount of money because they're the Kentucky head coach. Like, I understand paying Danny Hurley that much money, and I understand paying Scott Drew that much money, but Mark Pope, if this is the way you're going, and like you said, I mean, the options after that are running out. I mean, the other thing was Billy Donovan. It's like, well, guys, Billy Donovan hadn't coached college basketball in like a decade, maybe more than a decade at this point. So was he just going to come back for the Kentucky job? After Scott Drew said no, because I thought that was going to be a really interesting fit had he said yes to that. After he said no, you start to go through the realistic options, and you're like, eh, I don't know what that list is going to look like. I mean, I think there are legitimately some Kentucky fans that are disappointed that they didn't just go hire Rick Pitino for like 2 years. And I'm like, guys, did you really think that they were going to go back and hire Rick Pitino?
Well, and I saw that, and it's like, okay, so just hire Rick Pitino, get it rolling a little bit, and then hand it off to the young coach. Okay, who? Why? But yeah. Also, why? So is he winning a national title immediately? I guess if that's the case, okay. But other than that, why not just hire the young coach now? Like, what? I don't know. But I tell you what, message board geniuses at Board Geniuses. I mean, it's nothing but Kentucky. It's amazing. It's fire Mitch right now. Someone's trying to destroy the basketball team. Got to get Mitch out. It's time for Kentucky fans to stand up. We got a revolt. No way this effing dude can get hired. This is a, I mean, it's amazing. Like this is their content for days.
Could we have a Chiano Sunday, a Pope Friday? I don't even know how to do what to do with that.
A bad Friday for the Pope?
maybe so.
Yeah, it's at least in the online world, it's getting there. I mean, I guess if there's like some like gathering point on campus and they have like someone in a Hamilton outfit or something hung or something. I mean, I don't know,
what's
man.
What's going on around here? You can't hire him.
Oh, gosh.
Kentucky has made their hire. Mark Pope is apparently going to be the next head coach of the University of Kentucky men's basketball team. We'll take your reaction to that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Kentucky has found their man, Mark Pope, the new head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. A five-year deal worth $5.5 million per season. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, good morning. How are we doing?
Well, good morning, everybody. How are y'all?
We're awesome, great. Kenny. Thank you.
Excellent. Quick history lesson. Winston Churchill said about the British pilots of World War II, never have so few done so much for so many. When you talk about John Calipari, it's never has one man did so little with so much and made so many mad. Because if you look at the numbers, what was there, 16 years now, 34 number one first-round draft picks and another 10 second-rounders, you look, that's more than all the other SEC teams combined. And yet his results kept getting worse and worse. Last 10 years, they just won 3 conference championships in the average SEC, 2 outright. And the Kentucky fans would act all year long like, well, we've won the recruiting national championship. And it's like, yeah, but when the season starts, you finish third. So I think if they give Pope a chance, he will not recruit. He's not going to win the recruiting trophies, quote unquote. But I bet he'll get better results. Y'all have a great day.
Yep, thanks for the call, Kenny. I appreciate it. I mean, look, we've talked about the Cal part of this. Like, there's no doubt, you know, I think a lot of people, to Kenny's point, did say, well, look how much talent they're putting in the NBA. And I always heard that, and my thought when I heard that was, okay, well, don't you think that should have translated to more winning? Like, don't you think you should have won more than one national title with the amount of talent that came in and out of there? And I think eventually, like, Kentucky fans got there, like, yeah, we're tired of losing in the tournament and not making it to the second weekend with all these NBA draft picks that we have. So, look, I have no idea how well Mark Pope is going to recruit at Kentucky. I would assume that
I think he'll be okay.
Kentucky, we will recruit fairly well. Is it going to be at the level of John Calipari? Probably not, because, I mean, that's a pretty high level to get to. But – I mean, the thing I care about if I'm a Kentucky fan right now is, like, what is the formula to creating teams that can consistently be tournament threats? Like, what is the formula to winning? Because, obviously, the last few years of Cal there, whatever formula he was trotting out there was not working. So, that's what – if I'm a Kentucky fan, I don't really care a lot about the recruiting national championships, as Kenny put it there. What is the best formula to develop a team that can win and can be dangerous come tournament time? That's the only thing I care about.
Exactly.
If I'm a Kentucky fan.
Yeah, like Calipari, I mean, one of the most hilarious things he ever said was, like, he called it, like, the greatest day in program history, and all those guys went in the first round, whatever year that was. Like, what? The program has won national championships. How could you? What? Come on. No, I mean, Kyle Tucker, friend of the show who, gosh, I hope he gets a nap at some point here. It just never ends for him. But he had a great story going into this last season about, I think, basically how Calipari lost his way. And in terms of coaching and style and system and assistant coaches, staff is so huge. And it's about coaching. Like, again, Danny Hurley right now, to me, is the standard of coaching in college basketball. Right? I mean, I think that's pretty clear. And, yeah, they've brought in some big-time recruits. They've been smart with the portal, but also it's what it really is. He says it over and over again. He's like, we recruit NBA players who aren't just about themselves. It's like, come in here. Your numbers may not be what you want, but, like, NBA scouts know who you are as a player. You're not going to hurt yourself, and then you can win championships. It works. And that's what you want, and that has not been enough of the message at Kentucky, and it has not been the results. As I look at Mark Pope, again, I don't want to talk Kentucky fans down because I love the meltdown. I mean, keep melting down. It's tremendously entertaining. But, you know, 68% at BYU, 110-52. I mean, every single year he comes right in. They're 24-8. That's the COVID year. He had one 19-win season. Everything else, they've been good. He was good at Utah Valley. This is a guy who, he's at Columbia Medical School and then decided he had the bug for coaching. After playing in the NBA, he went to Columbia Medical School for 3 years. Like, he was about to be a doctor. So it seems like he got a pretty good noggin on him. He knows the words to Hamilton. I mean, come on. I think that counts as something.
But why would it not?
I mean, that's very impressive. But seriously, so Seth Davis, I mentioned earlier Roy Williams. Let me read this Seth Davis tweet.
Okay.
The year before he was hired at Duke, Coach K went 9-17 at Army. Roy Williams was the third assistant at UNC when he was hired by Kansas. I didn't realize he was the third assistant. Tom Izzo had never been a head coach. He was hired at Michigan State. And believe me, I can tell you all the history of Michigan State fans when Judd Heathcote retired. Oh, you can't just go with that little Izzo guy. Blah, 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 you know. You saw how that worked out. Jay Wright, you know, was Hofstra's coach, had never done anything in the NCAA tournament, goes to Villanova. I mean, again, none of these things mean Mark Post is going to work out. But, I mean, there's plenty of examples of underwhelming hires. But if you found a good coach, if you have a good coach who's good at coaching basketball, the coach is going to win at Kentucky. I'm confident in saying that.
Well, you know, to that point, a lot of Kentucky fans upset that they've hired someone who's never won an NCAA tournament game. There was a lot of that conversation last night. How in the world could you hire somebody in Kentucky that's never won a game in the NCAA tournament? And I hear that. I understand that for sure. Like you said, is that the biggest deal at the end of the day? Like, if you feel like he's a good coach, I mean, you also have to consider where he's been. Utah Valley and BYU.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like those are basketball powerhouses out there. So I think you have to consider where he is. And now, trying to project forward what that's going to mean from an X's and O's standpoint here. I mean, the recruiting part of it is a big deal, but NIL kind of changes that up a little bit, and Kentucky certainly is going to be equipped to handle that. So, I have an open mind to the Mark Pope hire. I mean, the reaction clearly is very negative, and that is the one part that I kind of worry about when you're in, like, the fishbowl of Kentucky, and you could take this to Tennessee football, you could take this to a lot of different programs in different sports across America. But when you're in a fishbowl like that and there's, like, immediate negativity the way there is, how does a person handle that? And, look, he's obviously familiar with the fishbowl. He played there, so I think that helps. But how does a person handle that when you're talking about extremely, extremely passionate fan bases like Kentucky basketball, like Alabama football, like places like that? It's some people handle it well and some people fold under that pressure, and we'll find out what Mark Pope is able to do with that.
Yeah, like I said, he knows history. But, yeah, it's – and then what does that do to the timeline? Some people think Mitch Barnhart also maybe retiring soon. Like, does he hand him off? And then that means that the next AD doesn't have any attachment. The numbers are lower, so it's easier to move. Like, you could see where the timeline could be a little bit accelerated for him, which would be tough for him.
Yeah.
Trey from Antioch says Kentucky game fans entering their names in the transfer portal. I think that's true. Yes, questioner says, is Mark Pope a former Kentucky basketball player? Yeah, he was a captain on that incredible 96 championship team that was, I think they went like 34-2. So, yeah, I mean, he's been there for the greatest, you know, playing for Patino, winning national championships. So, that doesn't mean anything here necessarily, except I do think knowing the lay of the land at a place like that is effective. I'm sure he's been involved in some way. I mean, look, Jeff Shepard, I think, is like his best friend, Reed's dad. First of all, does that mean maybe Reed plays a year for Mark Pope? That'd be exciting for Mark Pope. But also, I mean, he's got allies there. You would think that would help him some.
Glenn from Greenbrier on the text line says, as a UK fan, I'm shocked to say the least. This looks like Mitch Barnhart panicked after striking out on Scott Drew. I'm happy for 41. I'll back him 1,000%, or I think it's about 100,000%. And yes, the fan base is not happy at Mitch. This is from Glenn from Greenbrier on the text line.
So again, so we mentioned Shaka Smart. So Billy Donovan got contact. Kyle Tucker reported this last night. You know, Billy Donovan, there was some level of contact, and basically, thanks, no thanks.
Yeah.
Danny Hurley immediately dunked on it. Scott Drew really considered it. I mean, his family was caught coming off a plane. You know, that was a good plane tracker moment.
Yeah.
Catching his family, but not him. Nice job. Two planes. But he obviously turned it down. So who out there, Kentucky fans, would have made you happy? Given, again, Bruce Pearl and Rick Pitino were off the list. Now, I saw Kyle Tucker say this. I need to text Kyle and ask. He said something about, like, Bruce Pearl show cause. There's no way they're going to. I'm like, dude, they hired John Calipari.
Yeah, I mean, like, that would be my question if I'm a Kentucky fan. Is, okay, well, why was Bruce Pearl off the list? Was it just his age? Like, why is he off the list?
And that to me makes sense. Bruce Pearl, 65. Rick Pitino, 71. You're trying to hire someone who can grow into this job and be great for a long time. So if those are the parameters, you're not hiring. I mean, Pitino was fun to talk about, but did you really think they were going to hire Rick freaking Pitino? Come on.
I was heavily rooting for it.
I mean, sure. But given those parameters, you know, that you're trying to make a long-term hire, who out there would have made Kentucky fans excited after this first wave of people turned him down? I thought Scott Drew was probably going to happen.
I thought it was too. But when he didn't, I mean, that was the initial wave of meltdown from Kentucky fans. It's like when Scott Drew turned them down, it was like, can't get Hurley, can't get Drew. This job isn't what it used to be. It's like, oh,
well,
boy.
Some people were mad about Drew.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
The guy's a national champion. When he turned Baylor into a power.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, it's wild to me. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on Mark Pope being hired by Kentucky. Plus, if you're a Tennessee fan, how should you feel about this? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Joe, your Masters leaderboard update. Bryson DeChambeau leading the Masters at 7-under after the first round of play. Scottie Scheffler right behind him at 6-under. Tiger Woods, among others, Max Homa, Jason Day, finishing out their first round this morning. They're getting underway here in about 15 minutes with some rain yesterday. So Dustin Johnson will be out there at Tiger Woods. But your Masters leaderboard update brought to you by Burger Republic. Go try their limited-time Green Jacket Burger for a true Masters experience.
Oh, I love some Burger Republic. I'm not familiar with that one.
Have to give it a try.
I may have to. Thanks for the update. So Tiger's 1-under, is that right?
He's 1-under,
yeah,
in a decent spot.
7-under after 1-round. That's kind of a score.
He dropped Augusta, an eagle in there, right? a couple big putts. He will not play at that pace again. I don't think. But we'll see.
You seem to dislike Bryson DeChambeau for some reason.
Not a huge fan. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Steve in Bowling Green, discussing the hiring of Mark Pope. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. First of all, love the show.
Thank you.
Big time fans. Thanks. Woke up this morning a little aggravated, and not at Mitch Barnhart, but as a UK fan base as whole. We wanted John Calipari out because of the one-and-done era. That's not UK basketball. So now that we go and get what I think is a good coach, we're acting like a bunch of donkeys this morning, and it's rather embarrassing. I'm all on board. I'm excited. Look, the whole 5 years he's been at BYU, Mark Pope's at a top-10 offense. As long as he can recruit and we can play a little bit of defense, I think we're going to be just fine.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Steve. Yeah. It was a nice, refreshing change of pace there from the Kentucky fan base. Somebody is actually happy with the hire. I like it.
Good for him. I like donkeys, too. Yeah, actually, Mark Pope, KenPom likes Mark Pope better than John Calipari the last few years. So, take that for whatever it's worth. But, yeah, I think he's a pretty smart, effective coach, and I just – again, it's just like, I know you want to have this huge splash. Obviously, if you got Danny Hurley or Billy Donovan, it's like, oh, my God. But, you know, I'm trying to even think, like, in past hires. Obviously, John Calipari. And the funny thing about that hire is when it happened, And again, I think of like what we mentioned earlier, this idea that Bruce Pearl was untouchable because of his past issues. I mean, when John Calipari was hired at Kentucky, it was an absolute rainstorm. Well, Kentucky has sold its soul. Congratulations, Kentucky. You know, I mean, it's, I mean, that's what it was. And obviously it was a very different time in how we look at player acquisition in college athletics. Very different. But I mean, Tubby Smith, no, I don't think – I mean, obviously Rick Pitino was – that was a big hire. They were in the depths of probation at that point. I mean, it's not like they've – every single hire they've made has been a huge splash. Actually, Billy Gillespie was kind of like, ooh, yeah, I like that one. Done great things at Texas A&M, and we saw that worked out. I'd give this a chance. I'm still waiting for somebody to tell me, given the parameters and the people who've turned it down, like who would have been like clearly better right now? Who would have actually gotten Kentucky fans excited right now? Given, you know, no Pitino, no Pearl, the other guys who turned it down. Who else? I got Shaka Smart's the one name I came up with where it's like young coach has had more success than Mark Pope. I mean, I guess you could go Chris Beard, you know. But there's issues with that too.
So, how do you think Vols fans are feeling about this hire today of Mark Pope to Kentucky? What do you think the Tennessee fan base is thinking about that?
Well, I think Vol Twitter will be very respectful and quiet, and wish him the best, and cheer up Kentucky fans. Like, yeah, it'll be fine, guys.
Yeah,
I'm sure they won't.
I'm sure we'll see it.
They won't dance around and act like this is like the greatest thing that's ever happened to them or anything. I'm sure not.
God bless Vol Twitter. Yeah. They're already doing it. They're already right in there.
Oh, they're finding every. And hey, this guy's got some personality. Let me tell you,
he does. He does.
Good for him.
He does. There's this nice video of him ripping off his suit with a Kentucky basketball jersey underneath it, screaming "CATS, cats, cats, cats." I need to know when that's from. I don't think it's from last night.
CATS, 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 cats.
But when,
Mark Pope, ladies and gentlemen,
when is it from? Because he's been a coach at other schools.
He did it in the BYU gym, so I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. That
he
video
did?
Was in the BYU gym. Yes, it was.
Weird.
It was very weird.
Did he take? Was there? Did message board geniuses catch any? Did BYU Twitter go nuts about this?
I don't know.
Like, was Kentucky? That's weird because he's only been there since 2019.
I don't know.
What I saw was it was from a promo video for the Wildcats. Maybe it was something to do with, like, maybe it's from the 96 team or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I've seen a few things ever since we started the show. I looked it up a little
bit. Okay, I need the backstory. I need the full backstory on that one because that's interesting.
He's passionate, though.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's actually not bad, but it's – going to be a total meltdown around the – and look, we melted down when Josh Heupel got hired by Tennessee.
We did.
You know, Danny White! So –
it's worked out okay.
Yeah, it's worked out okay. Kentucky fans by Midnight Madness will be all in and they'll be excited and they'll have watched, you know, the 95-96 season and all the over and remember what a solid big he was for that team and blah, blah, blah. It'll be fine.
Speaking of Vol Twitter, on the volunteer front, Jonas Adu is entering the transfer portal. I mean, firstly, he's declaring for the draft while maintaining eligibility entering the transfer portal. But you have a Waka that has already entered the portal, and now Adu apparently entering the portal as well. So Tennessee looks like it's going to be without those two guys in their front court heading into next season. Obviously some work for Rick Barnes to do. So what did you make of Adu and his decision to enter the portal yesterday?
Yeah, that's the first surprise to me, and it's a tough one for Tennessee. It's not good. You know, one of those guys, it made total sense. They had a log jam at the five because, you're not playing any of those guys at the four. You have to play a stretch four in college basketball almost all the time. You know, you can go too big in different situations, but for the most part, it doesn't work. You're going to be chasing a perimeter player around, and it just doesn't work defensively. So, well, Waka leaving, I got it. Like, Adu starts over him. Adu had a really good year. People forget his, you know, people think about his last game. He was overpowered by Zach Edey. He was not playable in that game. And I actually think, given his reaction after that game and everything, I think he was very upset that he wasn't part of that, that Estrella basically replaced him in the lineup, but he was just getting pushed around by Zach Edey. He was really good last year. I mean, Jonas Adu was, and I, to me, you were starting to see, okay, I think this guy actually can play in the league. Problem is that Zach Edey shows you he still has work to do on strength, and just you've got to put more weight on and be able to handle the banging. I mean, it's too physical still for him. So he may have a shot to latch on the NBA, but I thought he needed another year at Tennessee. And look, he got plenty of opportunity. At Tennessee, they ran almost everything for Dalton Connect, right? I mean, but if anything else, the next guy was Adu. Rick Barnes is huge on pounding the ball inside. They had a lot of stuff where they got the ball to him in the post. Also, he hit how many mid-range little jumpers this year? He had a lot of opportunity. That's why he had the numbers he did. And if it's like looking around for a better place that uses them better or something, I think that's totally misguided. If it's, hey, see if the NBA works out, and if not, you're on the open market and you can make more money. Now, if that's the case, my question would be, what if Spire Sports in Tennessee step up to keep him? Because that does happen sometimes. I mean, we saw Vanderbilt's Tyron Lawrence get in the portal. Everybody thought he was gone. Well, he ended up coming back. So is it possible for them to get him back? If so, it'd be well worth it because all of a sudden they're thin inside.
Well, and if not, you've got to go attack that probably with a couple different guys in the portal coming up if you're Rick Barnes. I mean, and Tennessee, they're going to add somebody in the portal coming up here. So it's not like they're just going to sit on their hands. But if you've got Awaka gone and then Adu gone, I mean, it's a clear hole in your roster that you got to get fixed if you're Rick Barnes. And look, you're talking about a team that obviously is losing Dalton Connect anyway to the NBA. You know, you've got Ziegler coming back. You thought you had Adu coming back. So, those two right there would have been the makings of a pretty good team next year. But now, if Adu is gone, then you've got to really, I think, kind of restructure things if you're Rick Barnes. And look, they've got some young players that are going to come up and play in bigger roles next year. And obviously, Estrella is going to be a part of their plan. So, it's not like they don't have young talent on the roster. But, you know, I saw you tweet this yesterday. It's a pretty good example of why the way too early top 25 looking ahead to next year in college basketball, pretty much a waste of time.
Yeah, I saw something that had Tennessee in the top 10. I mean, I would definitely move them out of there right now. But there are additions to come for Tennessee, too. So we'll see. I mean, everybody's in the portal, 1,400 players or whatever are in the thing. So it's hey, it's just musical chairs. Everybody just redo your rosters, and we'll see what it looks like when the smoke clears.
Real quick, too, I had a caller, Hendrix. He let me know that video of Mark Pope – was from a video that they put together because there were certain players from that 96 team that could not come to Lexington to celebrate the championship. They had a reunion. Yeah, so
doesn't make it any less glorious.
Exactly. So at BYU.
So 21. Okay, so 2021. So it would have been the 25th anniversary. I'm sure yeah. that's probably from 21. Yeah. He could have done a lot of different things, but that's what he did. It's not like you're mandated to rip off your suit and be wearing a Kentucky basketball jersey and do the CATS cheer. But yeah. Hey, I mean, that's what he did.
I'm here for more of it. Yeah. I think we need to see more of it.
Hopefully he's a total goofball in the SEC. We need a little more personality in this league.
I agree. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the hiring of Mark Pope. Plus, Joe Rexroad, extremely fired up about spring football. We'll get into that as well.
So excited.
Jason, Big Joe, have your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets in an all-inclusive suite to see Jeff Dunham this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. This contest brought to you by Green Trees Company, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary providing high-quality legal THC products for anyone seeking medicine, relief, or wellness. Located in Hendersonville and a new location in West Nashville and available online at greentreescompany.com. Tune in tomorrow between 9 and 11. That will be today between 9 and 11 for your chance to qualify to win. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. All you got to do, go online to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter. Once again, leecompany.com/giveaway in the 10K Power Play Giveaway.
Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April the 20th. Lee Company, all you need. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you. Jared Stillman will join the program coming up at 7 o'clock. Joe Rexroad fresh off another victory in the Jared versus Joe campaign. Is that two in a row? I think it's two in a row.
Who's counting? He counts.
Not you. You're not counting.
I mean, again, let's be real. Has Jared ever won an actual sports argument?
Some people say no.
The people say. There are people,
there are people
talking,
who say.
There are people who would say.
And when they say it, they say no. Taking your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Joe, are you fired up for some Tennessee Vols spring football? It's in full force, baby. Vols fans very excited watching videos of Nico spinning that thing around in spring practice with nobody hitting him.
I will say I'm fired up that I thought about this week because the spring game is tomorrow.
Yes.
And
which is not really a game anymore, but yes.
The fact that I have not thought about it one time this entire time, that's what fires me up. So, I mean, excuse me. This is what I wrote in the grid about this topic. Joe hates spring football, but is an idiot who suggests bringing up UT spring football as a topic. So I'm kind of sabotaging myself here. We probably could have gone through everything. I guess maybe we might talk about it Monday, like if Nico makes some amazing throw. But like, spring football is among the worst things in the entire world, and we're about to have it with the Titans. You know, to have some days out there with the Titans, and okay. Go out there, and that's fine. You know, talk to people, watch some of the new guys out there a little bit. But spring football is truly among the worst thing in sports.
It's pretty bad. You can stream it tomorrow, by the way, on SEC Network Plus at 12 o'clock.
So that's not even on SEC Network. Huh. Good for you, SEC Network. Good for the world. More basketball and games that matter and less crap that doesn't matter.
Like, this is, I mean, it's the orange and white game, but they basically, like, they've changed this up to where it's, I mean, it's a game, but it's, like, basically a glorified practice out
yeah.
there with drills they run.
Doing some, yeah, and yeah. they'll scrimmage and stuff like that. Yeah, very, very few places try to do, you know, some programs have tried to do an actual game with a draft.
Yeah.
I've covered a program where they did that, and they tried to make it fun, and then there's, like, steak, you know, the winner gets steak, and the loser gets pork and beans. Like, none of it, like, great, enjoy. We're not going to get any of that, so you guys eat whatever you want.
You guys do whatever you want to do.
But when you do that, really, I think sometimes the better spring games are when you – at least if you get ones versus ones, and that's you know, like an offense versus defense
yeah.
with modified scoring where it's like this weird thing. All of a sudden the defense gets 6 points out of nowhere. Like, what happened? You know, they executed their coverage disguise well. They get 4 points. Yeah, it makes no sense. But at least then you see ones versus ones. I mean, so many programs don't even have enough offensive linemen healthy usually at this time of year to even try to do a game where you have two separate full offensive lines on two different teams. So it's all. You tell me, is there anything that has piqued your interest? I mean, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, anyone else, spring football?
No.
In the
I
last
mean,
month?
No, but I mean, I think what it's going to end up being, I'm sure there will be – you know, two or three throws tomorrow that Nico makes where you're just like, okay. I mean, he did it last year. He was in the spring game, and I can remember it in my head. He's rolling out to the right, and he basically throws off his back foot on the run, and it was an absolute dart to the right sideline. And Tennessee fans talked about that for 6 months. Like, that's what it
I
is.
I wrote like 800 words on it.
Yeah.
I was like, there to, oh, my God, Nico!
Yeah. So, like, I'm sure there will be two or three throws that he makes in this quote-unquote spring game that are really good and are going to get people excited. And look, that's what this whole offseason is going to be about, right? You think back to a couple years ago, Josh Heupel had just come off his first year. They were better than people expected. Hendon Hooker looked great, but nobody expected what was about to happen when they went, you know, 11-2 and ended up having the best season they've had in 20 years. Like, nobody, there was no expectation for that heading into the season. Last year, I mean, people were intrigued by Joe Milton. I don't think anybody expected them to be, like, national title contenders. I'm not saying that they're expected to be national title contenders this year, but I do think Tennessee fans expect them to make the playoff. And there's going to be, because of who the quarterback is heading into this season for them, I think there are going to be the highest expectations around here for a Tennessee football team since the 16 team with Dobbs that everybody thought was going to win the SEC East. I think I feel pretty confident in saying that, that the expectations from the outside looking in, and certainly with the fan base, are going to be the highest that they've been since Dobbs in 16.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's fair.
And it's a different, obviously a different format now. I mean, it's about the 12-team playoff, but I mean the expectation is that, you know, with Nico at quarterback, that they're going to challenge for a playoff spot and then go from there.
Right. So, and that's lofty because it's one of those things. Look, I look at them on paper, and you can see where it could work out. You can see where the defense could take a step. I think the pass rush could be really good. Some young guys in the secondary that are hopeful about. That's one of those big things. Like, let me see them the first time they play a legit opponent that can throw the ball. But there's some hope there. I mean, you know, they need to, you know, offensive linemen and defensive backs, as we've talked about, they just have not, from their own high school recruiting, they have not produce people who are top shelf SEC players yet.
Right.
That's got to change. But also, you know, shoring up left tackle the way they have, the way they appear to have, that's a big deal too. Dylan Sampson's going to be good, but they are thin at running back, and then the receiver's a big deal too, you know.
That's probably the most intriguing thing to me. Like, does Mike Matthews make an impact early on? I mean, I'll be watching him in the spring game if I ever turn it over there, which we'll see if I do or not. I'm sure I will for a little bit.
Do you have SEC Network Plus?
I assume it's the same thing as ESPN Plus that you can stream it. So I've got it.
Okay.
You gonna turn it over there?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, again, like last year, I like made the trip there but that was because it was an actual chance to watch Nico play.
We're not going tomorrow.
We've seen him play. No, I'm going to the Preds tomorrow night, so I'm not. No. Preds take precedence.
Yeah.
Precedence. They do. Yes.
Yeah. Lance on the text line, is the Manning kid going to start at Texas this year? I don't think so. I mean, Quinn Ewers is back,
right?
So
no.
I think a lot of people expected him to transfer, which he did not do. So I guess it's going to be year three for Arch when he finally starts.
Which is like, you know, how things should work.
I mean, but never do anymore for the most part.
That's what happens usually. I mean, like someone redshirts and then like by their third or fourth year, they become the starting quarterback at a college football program. I know it's insane to imagine.
They get like 1 year of Arch before he goes pro.
Yeah, that's the thing. It probably won't be the case, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I bet you he's a 4 or 5 year player in college football.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on the Mark Pope hire. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and Preds as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.